This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will bless you. Now, if you'd like to contact me, you can do so through regular mail or through my website, and we'd take your prayer requests or comments that you may have. We'd be happy to hear from you. Again, this program can be re-listened to on my website, and there's a weekly meditation there that you might find helpful as well. So if you would like those addresses, I'll give them to you at the close of the program. Now today we're going to finish our journey through the life of Peter and through his writings. We've come to chapter 3 of 2 Peter, kind of the last words that Peter wrote. And we just want to emphasize a few things as we come to the close of his life. In many ways, Peter probably would have been considered a kind of a rough man, maybe a man that was not just the most focused on the manners of society and so forth. I think he was a very honest man, but I've always pictured him as being a man who was a working man and who probably didn't really understand some of the finer points of society. But at the same time, as we come to the end of his epistle, one of the things that he mentions is grace. He had experienced it, and he wanted others to experience it. So as we come to 2 Peter chapter 3, I want to read from verse 14, which says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things," and he's the things that he's mentioned having to do with the day of the Lord and the day of God, "looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." So there's three things that we really want to emphasize as we come to the end of this epistle and the end of this study of Peter. The first thing is that the Lord hasn't come because he is long-suffering and he wants to save a few people yet. And we've touched on this many times. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but all that all should come to repentance. And so the delay in the Lord's coming is because of his mercy. He knows that there are people out there that need to be saved. He doesn't know if they will be saved. Well, he knows if they will be saved. We don't know if they will be saved. But he is holding the door of grace, the door open, so that people can still enter in to the blessings of knowing him as Savior. And then he goes on to tell us that there are things that Paul wrote that are hard to understand, but that his writings are Scripture. And all I want to say here is that from the standpoint of Paul's writings, we get a lot of people who feel that he was a womanator because of his teaching on headship, where he taught that women had a head and their head was man, and man had a head, their head was the Lord, and the Lord had a head and his head was God. And no one thinks that God or that the Lord is inferior to God, but we do know that he subjected himself to the will of the threefold Godhead. And so, in like manner, women are supposed to be as important, as needed as men, but yet in the chart of accounts, or the personnel chart that we look at, we find that women are to submit themselves to men, and they show this in a church meeting by covering their heads so that the man who is their head is symbolically covered, and the man uncovers his head so that his head is symbolically uncovered, which is the Lord. And while we show that and we practice that, many people in our day and age cannot accept that. And so they really refuse to accept Paul's writings. But Peter considers Paul's writings to be Holy Scripture. And so I just commend the scriptures that Paul has written to you. They've been written for a reason, and they've been written to show that to the angels in heaven that there are people on this earth that will serve the Lord in the way the Lord wants to be served. Now, every organization, I mentioned a chart of accounts, and I meant an organization chart. Every organization has to have an organization chart. And in that organization chart, we find the different positions are subject to generally the CEO. And when we begin to look at the chart, not everybody can be the boss of everybody. Somebody has to guide the people in the organization, and some people have to follow. But yet the followers also are guiding people under them. And women have a very important role with regard to other women and with regard to the younger women. And they have a very important role in supporting the males who take the public role in the church. But people today are saying that that's not the way our society operates, and they will want to set aside much of what Paul has said. Now, I've often used this example, and I'm going to use it again when we talk to young married couples and explain to them that the man takes the lead and the woman is to follow the man in their marriage. They get all upset. We always emphasize that the way the man takes the lead is by loving his wife as Christ loved the church. He always considers her well-being and in the decisions he makes, and he tries to protect her. But having said that, many people think that we're saying that the man is the most important. And so we'll ask them, if we had a team of horses, draft horses, and one in every team, as I understand it, there's a lead horse and a follow horse. And so which of those two horses, the lead horse or the follow horse, is most important? Which one is the key to that team? And most people will right away say, well, the lead horse is the most important, the most valuable. But of course, that's not true, because you don't have a team without a lead horse and a follow horse. If you have two lead horses, it doesn't work. And if you have two follow horses, it doesn't work. You have to have both, and both contribute to that team equally. And so we have to understand that Paul's writings are designed to make the home and the church work like a well-oiled machine. They're not those things that he has laid out with regard to the headship of Christ in 1 Corinthians 11 and in other places is not designed to hinder a woman. It's designed to bless a woman. And so Paul's writings are scripture. So first of all, we see that the Lord's delay in fulfilling his promise to come is because his delay represents the salvation yet of some people who he'd like to see saved. His delay is because of his long suffering. And then we see that Paul's writings are scripture. And if anyone could have criticized Paul, it would have been Peter, who was openly rebuked for some of the things that he did in not being willing to eat with Gentiles after he himself had preached the gospel to the Gentiles and opened the door of grace to the Gentiles. And then the last thing we see is that Peter says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I think that's extremely important. He says, don't fall from your own steadfastness. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to fall from your salvation, but many people, we call them backsliders, fall from their steadfastness. They lose their confidence in the things that they've been taught and often become unusable to the Lord. And it has to do with their service and faithfulness that we're talking about here. They're falling from that because they have not maintained a close relationship with the Lord. And we can either drift in our spiritual experience, or we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't grow into salvation. Salvation is a new birth, and Peter has emphasized that. Salvation is a point in time experience. Salvation is salvation for the lost. The unbeliever becomes a believer. The lost is saved. The whole idea of salvation and of the new birth is that there comes a deliverance from the penalty that we deserve because of our sin, and a deliverance for a new life with Christ. And many people argue that they don't remember when that deliverance occurred, and I'll leave that between them and God. But the concept of the new birth and of salvation and of the teaching of Peter and of Paul is, and the teaching of the Lord himself, is that salvation occurs at a point in time. Now, there's much that takes place before that point in time. The word takes root, and people become concerned about their relationship with God. And so there is much that takes place before that point in time, but there's a point of deliverance. And just like with a newborn child, they have a time when the seed takes root, and then there's growth within the womb. And then there's a point of deliverance, and then after that there's growth outside of the womb. And so the point is that we don't teach people how to act like Christians before they become Christians, but once they become Christians, they should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, that's what I want to leave you with today. If you're a Christian, grow in grace. What does that mean? Well, grace is unmerited favor. Grace is getting something that we do not deserve. Mercy is having the penalty of sin withheld that we do deserve. But grace is showing is a gift. It's unmerited. It's something that we don't earn. And the thing that goes along with grace is graciousness. And the Lord was gracious. They marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And so, if we have received the unmerited gift of God's salvation, then we should reflect the graciousness of Christ in our lives. And as I said, we don't grow into salvation, but after we are saved, we should grow. We shouldn't stay where we were the moment we were saved, but we should know daily more and more about the Lord through prayer, through the reading of his word, and through experience. We should know more of him, and as we know more of him, we'll know more of his grace, and as we know more of his grace, we'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we trust the Lord will bless you if you're saved as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened, upon our audience. Whatever needs are present, we trust that thou'lt meet them. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. In our Savior's worthy and precious name, amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.